Today is going to be a special day, especially in our second service. We're doing baby dedication. And yeah, give it up. We've got 11 babies going to be dedicated in this next service. That, if that's not the sign of a healthy, growing church, I don't know what is, right? We take growth seriously around here. Oh, goodness. When Shelley and I came and tried out 23 years ago to be the kids pastor, I'd never done a kids service before. And so pastor said, well, just preach to the adults to try out to be the kids pastor. We'd go figure, right? And so we had just found out that we were pregnant with Sadie. And so I told the church, I said, you know, if you guys hire us, we're dedicated to church growth. We've got one on the way here. I better get to my message and quit rambling, right? How many of you want to hear the word of God this morning? Man, I came for the same thing. Sounds like we're on the page. But with it being baby dedication today, I just really wanted to talk to the parents a little bit and even the church as a whole. If you're not a parent, if you don't have kids, or maybe you're a grandparent and they're not around, I just want us to see the role that we have still as the church body. But I want to talk to our parents a little bit about some godly ways that we can encourage our kids to be spiritual, strong, healthy Christians when they grow up. And so to those of you that are parents, what I do know about you is that you want to give your kids the very best. Isn't that true? Is that true? Anybody want to give your kids the very best? Well, I know I wanted to give my kids the very best, and you guys want to. And in fact, it's even a scriptural thing to want to give our kids the very best. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. He says, so if you, sinful people, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? So we know that we want to give good things, and so does our heavenly Father. We all want to give the kids our very best, and we all have really good intentions about that when they're first born, but there's things that life happens, doesn't it? And we get tired, and many of you parents, you know what I'm talking about. You know, parenting has never been easy. It's always been difficult. It doesn't matter how good of a child you have. But in today's culture, I think it's even more difficult. And so what we try to do is we try to do the right things, but then we get worn out, don't we? We get tired. For example, if you have multiple kids, you know that when that first baby comes along and you put a pacifier in their mouth and that pacifier drops down, well, you don't put it back in. You get a death. You take that one home, you put it in boiling water, you sterilize it. You know what I mean? You put it back in. The second kid comes along and the pacifier hits the ground and you're like, run it under the warm water, it'll be all right, you know. The next kid comes along and you're like, pick that thing, okay, put it back in. Yeah. The next one comes along, you're like, where's that dog at? Lick that thing off. just kidding, Sadie, I never did that, okay? Oh, goodness. But, you know, that's the way it is, you know. We love to give our kids the very best, and we really want them to be happy. But we want to put them in the best schools. We want to be able to give them the nicest tennis shoes and the most fashionable jeans we can afford. We even like to give them the newest and latest cell phone. But what we want to do is we want to give our kids the very best. But I want to propose the question to you today, but what if what we give them actually hurts them? I want us to think about that. And I would suggest to you that when it comes to our kids, that we need to worry less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness. Less about today's happiness and more about tomorrow's readiness, because they need to prepare them and for them to be faithful to God in every aspect of their life in this complicated world that we live in. Amen? And so what I want to do this morning is I want to show us three different times and ways that with good intentions that we might actually hurt our kids. And I'm going to give you three examples. And number one is when we give them things they don't earn. When we give our kids things that they don't earn, we do this very early on a lot of the times. Maybe it's for the first time we do it is probably in the grocery store, if you will. We have our kid there and they're wanting that toy or that lollipop and they start throwing a fit and everybody around starts judging our parenting skills and we're like, okay, just take the toy, you know. And we give them something that they don't really deserve. But then society comes along and they reinforce this entitled mindset with all these things like participation trophies. Now, I don't want to be the old guy in the room with a bad attitude, but when it comes to participation trophies, I'm the old guy with a bad attitude. You know, I don't think that anybody should just, they should be awarded or rewarded for just showing up. I mean, that's kind of the baseline, isn't it? That's the expectation. Just show up. And as that's what we do, though, as parents. We recognize one of the best things that we can do, though, and I want us to understand that, is that we can give our children the blessing of earning the blessings. Think about that one, okay? Have you given your children the blessing of earning the blessings? For example, maybe they want to play video games, and you're going to say to your kid, you're going to say, well, I want you to play video games, and you can, but it's after you do your chores or your homework. And maybe they're saying, Dad, I want a new car when I'm 16. And you think to yourself, well, you know what? If you want a new car, then maybe you're going to have to buy that yourself. But if you want to buy a used car, one that you can afford, maybe you'll do half, and if I can afford it, I'll pitch in the other half. You see, we need to help them understand that they need to have some skin in the game, amen? And it's the same thing with cell phones, right? We get these phones, and we want to give these to our kids, and they say, well, you know what? That's my phone now that you've given me that phone. Well, I know of a parent that uses this philosophy. He tells his kids, they say, I want a phone. They say, okay, you can have, there's a text from Pastor Wooten. Doesn't he know I'm up here preaching? That's funny. That's funny right there. All right, so, I'm sorry, I'll get back on track. What he did is he said, you know what? He said, you can't have your own cell phone, but you can borrow mine. And then that way at night before you go to bed, if I want it back, I can come get it because it's mine. And the kids are like, no, it's my phone. Well, if you want your phone, well, then get a job and go get it, right? That's I'm not trying to be mean, and I know the kids, you know, you're looking at me right now and you're thinking, man, I don't like Pastor Jack. He's giving my parents some ideas that I don't like. And then you're going to argue with them. And to the parents, I would just want to remind you that your children are never your peers. They're never your peers. You're the parent, and they don't have an equal say in every decision that comes along. And we don't want to create this entitled mindset. We want to create a good work ethic and one that is a grateful-minded. And so the first mistake that we often make, though, is we give them things that they didn't earn. The second big mistake is that we give them praise that they don't deserve. You see, we love our kids so much, and we want to build up their self-worth that we'll tell them things like, oh, you're the smartest kid ever, or you're the prettiest that in the whole land, or you're the best singer. And, man, they don't sing any better than me. And so, you know, but what happens is that they're not the smartest, and they're not the prettiest, and they're not the best singer. And so studies are very conclusive on this. When you begin to read about overpraising your children actually hurts them. And the challenge is that when praise is cheap, it robs our kids of confidence, okay? And so overpraising, actually what it does is it creates anxiety. And I see this in a lot of people. They tell their kids, you know, you're special, you're the smartest. And they start thinking, okay, well, then if I'm going to be loved, I got to be special and I got to be smart. And the problem is that whenever they don't feel smart like me, then you begin to think, well, then I've got all this internal tension. I'm not going to be loved. People aren't going to like me. They're not going to think I'm smart. They're going to think I'm dumb. And you get all this internal tension. And that's what we do to our kids a lot of times. When we build them up, we rob them of putting their faith in God or in having confidence in what God put inside them. Instead, we try to get it on themselves instead of what God has done for them. And so it can be a big mistake. And so that's why if you're taking notes this morning, you may want to write this one down, all right? It's better to praise the process than to praise the person, okay? And it's better to praise the process. And let me give you an example of that, okay? So we start saying, you're the best or you're the most special. And so instead of saying like, you're the smartest kid maybe because you made an A, maybe we should say something like, well, you worked really hard on that paper. Congratulations on that A. I think that God is well pleased with you. I think he looked down and he saw your hard work, and man, you just made God proud. You see, I think if you start encouraging the process instead of the person, that's one of the things that we need to do that'll help us. But we love our kids, we love our children for who they are, but when we praise them, we need to actually praise them for what they're doing that honors God. And so that's where I'm trying to get you to see, and there's a big difference in that. The third challenge is that I think that we all do this one, is we give them freedoms that they can't handle. This one's a big one. As a kids pastor for 22 years, and as Zach can tell you as a youth pastor, this one is a big one. And it's crazy, though, sometimes how we can be overly protective in some ways, and then we're just foolishly naive in other ways. Like we'll say to our 12-year-old, hey, you can't cross the street by yourself. And we're overly protective about that. But then we'll naively give them a cell phone. And we give a middle schooler a cell phone and we say things like, well, good luck. I hope you don't get addicted to porn. I hope no one sends you something inappropriate on there. Or I hope that you don't battle feelings of ongoing anxiety and depression and isolation while you're just scrolling mindlessly through TikTok. You see, we give them this, and we give them way too many freedoms that they're not prepared for. And so what do? Well, our goal is because our children are dependent on us for everything when they're babies, and they need us for everything, our goal should be to gradually transfer from dependence on us to dependence on God. Amen? And so we're helping them to learn to trust God, less of us and more of God, right? That's what we want, is less of us and more of God. Start depending on him as they grow up. Amen. And as they become more trustworthy and as they become more responsible, then we can give them more freedoms because they've been growing into it, right? And so the challenge on that, though, is in today's culture. In today's culture, it just kind of programs our minds as parents to just mindlessly parent. You know, we create this entitlement by giving them things that they don't deserve. We create insecurity by giving them praise that they don't deserve. And then we create kids that are bound in sin because we give them freedoms that they can't handle. Things that they can't handle. So what do? If we love our children and we want them to love God, what are some of the gifts that we can give them to help them become fully devoted followers of Christ? Well, I want to look at a verse in Deuteronomy. It's the Shema, the Jewish culture. This is the most recited and most essential prayer in Judaism today. And it's Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. And this is what it says. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." Scripture goes on to say, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." So, what are the gifts that we can give our kids to help them love God? I'm going to give you three of them out of this scripture right here. There's three gifts that you can give to your kids. The very first one is we're going to give them a community worth having. We're going to give them a standard worth achieving. And we're going to give them a faith worth sharing. Amen? Let's say that together. We're going to give them a community worth having, a standard worth achieving, and a faith worth sharing. All right. So let's start with that first one. And as parents and as a church, I want us to understand that it's not just mom and dad. You see, we want to do this as the body of Christ. If we're going to do these three things, it's going to take the community to do this. Okay? And we see that in Deuteronomy 6:4. The very first thing that he says, "Hear, O Israel." You see, he's not saying, "Hear a certain person," or "hear an individual." He's saying, God's speaking to the whole community of Israel, and whenever he's talking about this. And so it's the whole community. So, "Hear, O Israel, love the Lord our God. The Lord is one." Okay? And so I want us to see, though, that an Old Testament Jewish family, they viewed themselves very different than what a modern family today looks like. You see, an Old Testament family, it would consist of the parents and the children and the children's spouses, the grandkids, the aunts and the uncles, the nieces, the nephews, even the workers that worked on their farms or in their stores. Those were considered family. And back in this time, it would be very likely that most families and communities would have at least 80 people or more, okay? And that, can I tell you, that would be a community worth having, right? And so if you were to ask Shelly and I, if you were to say, what is the one thing that you and Shelly did as parents to help set your kids up for spiritual success? I think we would both answer to you today. We'd both say what we wanted to do most of all is we wanted to get them deeply planted in an intentional, Christ-centered community like Grace Point Church. And so that was one of the very first things that we were very intentional about, is we wanted to make sure that she was raised in church and that she had a Christ-centered community to lean on whenever Shelly and I couldn't be there, or to be the eyes that Shelly and I couldn't see, is we needed to have that. And that was one of the biggest things that we wanted. But we wanted to make sure that she had Christian influence. And this was so important to us that we decided that we were going to homeschool her after first grade. And that was one of the toughest and hardest things we did, is homeschooling her, because we said, if we're going to start it, we're going to finish it. And so there were times we wanted to give up and times we wanted to go back to public school, but we hung in there. And you know, I just believe that God deeply rooted her in Christ, because we were able to teach her the Bible and things that she wouldn't have learned in public schools. Now, I'm not saying public schools are bad, so don't get upset at me there. I'm just saying, for Shelly and I, we felt like this was such an important thing to us that we wanted to be the ones that influenced her, not someone else. And can I tell you, who and what you expose your kids to will shape who they become and what they believe. Who you expose your kids to will shape who they become and what they believe. It's so important, people. I want us to understand who we expose them to and what we expose them to. What it's going to do is it's going to shape their beliefs and it's going to shape their attitudes. And I would say that most parents around the country, our philosophy is just, okay, get up and have fun at school, you know, and go out into the world, have a good day out there. I hope you make it, you know. But school's tough, isn't it? It's a lot different than it was when we were there, I can tell you that. And so we send them out. But one of the best things that we can do is intentionally help them find, build, and create a Christ-centered community. And we know that this is important, because whenever you think about it, whenever you was growing up, if you did something really good or bad, you rarely did it alone, did you? So if you did something good, you probably did it with a good friend. And if you did something stupid, you probably did it with a stupid friend, right? Raise your hand if you ever had a stupid friend. Now, don't point at them, because that's not nice, all right? How many of you were the stupid friend? Okay, that's why I got my hand up right there, all right? And I'm going to tell you that this is grounded in spiritual truth as well. If you look at Proverbs 13:20, it tells you this. It says, walk with the wise, and say it again, say it with me, and become wise. Associate with the fools and get in trouble. You see, that's just what happens. It's biblical. But you might say to me this morning, you might say, well, Pastor Jack, I don't have any control over who my kids are friends with. I'm just totally helpless. They go out into the world and I can't do anything about it. Well, that's true to some degree, But because they do have a lot of freedom. But you have to remember, though, even though you can't pick their friends, you can influence the environments that you put them in. Okay? You can't always pick what they're going to do or who they're going to choose, but especially in those early years, you do have a great deal of say in where they're going to go and what type of environments that they're going to be in and who they're going to associate with. And so let me remind you, parents, if you really want to have your kids really spiritually grounded, are you ready for this one? This one here. You may want to write this one down too, because some of you might not know this. But High Octane Kids meets every week. It meets every week. There's people over there that are devoted, and they have a heart to see that your kids find a fully devoted relationship with Jesus Christ. Some of you might not know that Summit meets on Wednesday nights. Summit meets on Wednesday nights. And so you think about it, you do have some control to some degree of who your kids are going to be around. And so that's going to be where they choose their pool of friends from, right? So if we begin to shape where they're going and what they're doing, then they get around the influence of other Christians and other kids just like them. And so, you think, well, man, I just don't have that much influence on it in the summertime because I got to work. Maybe you need to come up with some money and send them to a church camp somewhere this summer. Or maybe you could get them to go on a missions trip and serve somewhere. So you can control. You can't control who they choose, but you do have the influence on where they go and who they're going to be around. Amen? And it's sad, but I believe that at some point, if you don't make those difficult decisions as a parent, that like years later, you might be wondering how things could have been different. Because who they're with shapes who they become. Who they're with shapes who they become. And so you want to work really hard and you want to give them every opportunity as a parent to have and to be in a spiritual community. Amen? And this is why it matters so much. Ecclesiastes says this. Ecclesiastes, it says that two are better than one. Okay? Two people standing up for Jesus are better than one. If one falls down, the other one can pick them up. If one of them is vulnerable, the other one has their back. Amen? And so that's why it's so important that we get our kids in a spiritual, Christ-centered community. And you know, because sometimes whenever our kids are out there in the world, believe it or not, they get tempted for things. And they hey, take a drink of this. And they can say, no, I don't drink. And they're like, what? You don't drink? And then, yeah. All my friends don't drink. You see, if you got them surrounded by the right people. What do you mean you're saving yourself for marriage? Yeah, a bunch of us are saving ourselves for marriage. You see, that's the community that they need to have in those situations. Because I'm going to tell you, your kids are tempted with things that you and I were never tempted with. And that's why we want to give them a spiritual community worth having. The second thing we want to do, and I'm going to try to wrap this up pretty quick. How much time I got? I'm doing better than I thought. The second thing is we want to give them a standard worth achieving. So what is the goal? When it comes to parenting, what do we want for our kids? We want them to love the Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength. That's what our verse says. We got to understand that we want them to do this all the time, not with just part of their heart, and not with just when it's convenient, or not when they're not being made fun of. We want them to love the Lord their God at all the times, not only when they're with their youth group here, but even when they're with other groups of friends. We want them to love the Lord their God with all their hearts all the time. So how are we going to help them do that? I can tell you this, it's not by lowering the standard. It's not by lowering the standards. Did you know that in the Old Testament, by the time a child was 12 years old, they had already memorized the first five books of the Bible? The first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. They've learned all of that, and they could recite that. And can I tell you, sometimes we can't even get our kids to make the bed. Now, I'm not getting on to you. But I can tell you this, if you don't expect much from your kids, you won't get much. If you don't expect much, you won't get much. If you think that it's acceptable to not even meet the standard, the baseline standard, then you're not even going to get the baseline standard out of your kids. But if you believe that they're more capable, then they're probably going to believe that they're more capable. And then they might actually memorize a book of the Bible. And not only that, they might make their bed. And then they'll be sharing it with their friends because they're hanging around other godly friends and they might grow spiritually. You see how this thing can snowball if we get them in the right places? So how are we going to help them love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and with all their strength? Can I tell you, it's probably not going to come from a 30-second TikTok devotion. It's not. We're gonna have to raise the standard on our kids. We're gonna have to raise the standard. We're gonna say, you know what? Maybe as a family, we're gonna start doing a Bible devotion each and every day. You see, maybe you need to get a family Bible plan. And once they do it with the family and they start doing it with their friends, then they might start asking other friends to come and they start becoming a witness and they become a disciple and they're sharing the love of the Lord in their community. It's important for us, though, to hide God's word in our heart so that we don't sin against him. The reason I say that is because that's in the Bible. That's a scripture in the Bible that we need to hide God's word in our hearts so that we don't sin against him. You see, when we hide God's word in our heart, we become stronger in God's word. And the stronger we are in Christ, well, then the less and the weaker the attacks from Satan becomes when we have this spiritual armor on every day. Amen? And so we got to raise the standard. We got to guard our eyes. We got to guard our minds. We got to let our bodies honor God as if they belong to him, because they do. And instead of listening to whatever music is popular out there, if it causes your mind to go into the wrong direction, then maybe you need to turn that off and put on some worship music that puts you back to being Christ-centered so that your mind is on Christ all day. Amen? But if we want our kids to be in a Christ-centered community, then there's something that's going to have to happen. Maybe we need to let them serve on a dream team somewhere. Let them engage in serving on a dream team. Now, this is going to mess some of us up, because if your kids are going to serve, then that means we got to be here, right? So you got to be here more than once a month. And if you're going to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, you probably need to be here more than once a month anyways, right? So, amen, Pastor Jack. I'm not getting too many of those right now. That's okay. That's all right. But we don't want our kids to just fit in. We want our kids to actually stand out because of their faith in Jesus. Amen? And how are they going to do that? They're not going to do it alone. They have to have a community, a strong spiritual community. And what we need to do is we need to be the ones to raise the standard and say, you're actually capable of doing more. You don't become a strong Christian once you're 21. You can become a strong Christian at 8 years old and be an incredible witness for the kingdom of God. Amen? And so what we're going to do is we're going to give them a community worth having and a standard worth achieving. The third thing is we're going to give them a faith worth sharing. So when it comes to the truth of God, what do? Let me tell you, as parents, we got to have it in us, right? Mom and Dad, it starts with us. And then we can impress the truth upon our kids. And we're gonna talk about God's truth every day. When you sit down at home, and when you're walking down the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up, and you make conversations about God and faith and spiritual things, just like it's a most common and normal and natural thing and topic in your home. It's just every moment of the day you're trying to find a way to put Christ in the center of what you're doing. It's not like we're going to, okay, now that it's Sunday, we're going to put on our God face, we're going to get up and put our good clothes on and go to church. You see, we need to do this every day of the week. It's not a Sunday thing. This is a 24/7 thing. And so it's when we wake up, and it's when we're at lunch on a Saturday or a dinner time or when we're on our way to soccer practice. Can I tell you, when your kids are in the car, you got a captive audience. That's a great time to start sharing the gospel with them and putting some biblical knowledge into them as they're driving down the road. I mean, we spend a lot of time in our vehicles, don't we? But we do this not to punish them or not to just keep hounding at them, but we do it because we want them to have a firsthand faith, just like you and I need to have a firsthand faith with ourselves. And the challenge on this is because the kids in this generation, man, they despise hypocrisy. they hate fake. And let me tell you, they got this great fake detector. I mean, they can, who faked? You know, there's your little potty humor right there for my sixth graders. But this is the reason why we're not going to be what the culture calls a cultural Christian family. We don't want to be a cultural Christian family. There's a lot of people today that would say, yeah, we're Christians, only because they're not anything else. Or that's, can I tell you, that's a cultural Christian right there. Well, what we want to be, though, is we want to be a Christ-centered family. Because Jesus is not just a part of our lives, He is our life. Amen? Can I tell you, everything within me, everything I've got within me, I want to impart to my kids, to my grandkids, a spiritual legacy more than anything I have right now. The older I get, the more this becomes important to me, that I leave my kids a spiritual legacy. And I want them to know who they are in Christ, so that when the devil comes to them and he tells them who they're not and what they can't do, they can look at him and they say, oh no, through Christ Jesus, I can do all things because I can and I am, because Jesus said, amen. Amen. Whenever the temptation draws our kids away, that they can look at the devil and they can say, oh no, I have on the full armor of God. I have on the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, and the shield of faith, and the belt of truth, and the word, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and that my feet are planted firmly in the peace of, in the gospel of his peace. And that's what I want to give my family. I want my family to have that. And it's not just going to happen, though. It takes some work. We have to work at it. But we want to give them a spiritual community worth having. We want to raise the standard. And we want to give them a faith that's worth sharing. A faith that says that anyone that calls on the name of Jesus would be saved and forgiven. Amen? That is a faith worth sharing. And so, what if you're here this morning and you feel like, man, you're a failure as a parent? Can I tell you, I felt that way many, many, many times. But if you're here this morning and you feel like you've failed or you've fallen short, let me tell you, there's some good news. And there's the good news is there's no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen? And so what you can do is you can just start today. If you haven't been doing this, you can just start right now and you can apologize to your kids. Did you know that's okay to do that? You can look at your kids and you say, hey, I'm sorry. I have not been leading you towards Christ, but we're going to start down that path today. And you're not always going to get it right, and you're not always going to be perfect. But can I tell you, as we're being perfected and as we're being changed, we can actually point our kids towards Jesus Christ. If you will, stand with me if you would. And so what we're going to do is we're going to raise the standard. We're going to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And with God's help, and with your help, and with the church's help, we're going to offer our kids a community worth having, a standard worth achieving, and a faith that's worth sharing. Amen? But here's the deal. We need you to be a part of this. We need you to be a part of this. And so let's do it together. Amen? Let's bow our heads and pray. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit this morning would do in our families what only you can do. Father, I pray that you'd help us to become centered around your Son, Jesus. And as everyone is praying this morning, I just ask that nobody would look around. I don't care this morning if you're married, if you're not married, kids, no kids. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what, I want to be Christ-centered in the way that I live. If you just want to be Christ-centered in the way you live, just raise your hand up right now. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. We all should have our hand up wanting to be Christ-centered family. And leave them up, if you will. Let's just put them both up, just as almost as a prayer towards heaven. All right? Jesus, we honor you this morning. We put you first. God, I pray that you would help us to do what Jesus said in the book of Matthew when he says, seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. And so, God, we would give you thanks this morning, because if we'll do that, you'll add all things unto us. God, help us this morning, because we can't do this on our own. Jesus, I pray that you'd give our parents wisdom and grace I pray you'd give our kids wisdom and grace this morning. And God, even those that aren't parents this morning, Father, I just pray that you would speak into their hearts and help them see that they are a part of the body of Christ, and that they too have a role in discipling our children and one another. Help us, God, to put you first in all we do. You can put your hands down now if you want to, but let's keep our eyes closed. Nobody looking around. This morning, if you're here and today you realize, you think to yourself, you know what? I'm just a cultural Christian because I really don't have a relationship with Jesus. I know of him, but I haven't really been following him. I'm not Jesus-centered. If that's you this morning, I want to tell you this morning about a faith that's worth sharing. I want to tell you about a God that loves you so, so much that he sent his son, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one that was perfect in every single way, who died on the cross, the holy and perfect one, as a sacrifice for your sins and my sins. Let me tell you about a God that took on the punishment of our sins this morning, but God raised him from the dead, so that anyone, and that includes you and that includes me, anyone who calls on his name would be saved. You see, this isn't a, hey, I go to church to be a good person. No, this is a, he's a Lord of my life, and I want him to be the center of everything because he's my king. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're not even a cultural Christian. Maybe you've been so far from God you don't feel like you even know him at all. But all of a sudden, maybe this morning, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there's been a nudge and a tug on your heart. And what that is that's a good God that's calling you and drawing you to his love. And he's saying, no matter what you've done and no matter where you've been, when you call on the name of Jesus, our God will hear your prayer this morning, and he'll forgive your sins, and he'll make you brand new this morning. To those of you that say that that's me, I need his grace. I want you to just raise your hand up this morning. Say, I want to give my heart to Jesus this morning. I want to have him be the Lord of my life. If everyone would you just pray this prayer with us this morning so that no one prays alone? Let's pray this. Heavenly Father, forgive my sins. Fill me with your spirit so I can know you, I can love you, and I can honor you. Father, with my whole heart this morning, I thank you for this new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name, amen.